Oh, yes, you guys are back with me. For those of you that religiously listen, I don't know who listens or anything like that, but I get the majority. Wow, my voice is all messed up here. I get the majority thinking, or I think the majority of you are listening on the other side of the world. Why do I have a horrible voice right now? That's so bizarre. Anyways, yeah, you know, this hurricane, man, that was, I hate to say it, but it was almost a disappointment for what my expectations were. I was like, I was expecting serious thunder, serious craziness, serious flash of lightning, thunder and crackle and loss of power. And I was hoping for it, right? At least I was hoping for it because of the kids. I wanted the kids to experience what I used to go through back when I was a kid. And it's like, no, just rain, just rainfall. That was it. It's like, man, that's not fair. It's sad. I mean, no, it's not sad. It's great. We need the rain. We really do. Here in California, we really need the rain. It always need the rain. You can never turn away the rain in Southern California because we never get enough. Never. They're always complaining about how we're running out of water. With as much rain that we've gotten this year and how much we've overflowed the aquifer and everything, especially where I live, man, I love it where I live. We don't have the problem with a loss of water, of, you know, I don't know. It's a different geological, what's the word, geological area, right? So we don't use the water from the Colorado River in the area that I live. We have our own aquifer that's deep underground. It's nice. Anyways, so we don't have to worry about that water stuff. I mean, we do, but not as bad. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, or good night, whatever time of dimension that you are in. This is your host, Chris. Welcome to Interstellar Frequency. As a kid, we'd have like thunderstorms come through and like massive thunderstorms back in the like late 80s, early 90s, it was the most craziest thing. You'd be outside, right? And then your mom would come out and be like, hey, you boys might want to come in right now, you know? I mean, I don't care if you guys want to stay out and play in the rain. That's fine with me. But, you boys might want to come in because, you don't want to get struck by lightning. And it's like,
what?
Yeah, you don't want to get struck by lightning, so you boys might want to come in. And when that happens, right, and she says that to me and my buddy, we were out there playing in the backyard and stuff. We're crawling all over the iron pile and everything that my dad had back there. It was like a freaking jungle gym of construction work stuff. It was awesome. Like, it was like a land of, I don't know, other people would call it like junkyard stuff. I called it like, I don't know, a land of opportunity. To get hurt in many ways that if you weren't paying attention, you can get really hurt. And so it's like, you got to be smart on how you're going to play out there and crawl around the rebar. I don't know how many times I got in tetanus shots because of rusted rebar and iron and stuff. Because I sliced my skin open on doing something stupid. I learned though, right? Anyhow, I remember when she came out and told us this, she's like, hey, you better come in. And we're like, no. And all of a sudden, just all of a sudden, at that moment in time, right? This hardcore crack hit the sky. I swear to God, my buddy and I jumped about 3 feet off the ground, man, and we hauled ass underneath the patio. Like, lightning and everything happening. Thunder cracking in the backyard. Oh my God. That was great. That was great. Scary as hell. And so, you know, back then I was like scared of thunder. Really, really afraid of thunder. And then, like, more and more as I got older, I really loved the sound of thunder and the cracking and the combustion of the two happening. Ripping across the sky. I don't know. I've never experienced anything louder and more powerful than that, you know? And I was sitting there hoping, my hopes were so high on this like crazy crack of thunder and lightning and everything like that, that we were going to get this massive weather system come through of Hurricane Hillary. Really a bizarre name. And that didn't happen. And none of it happened. It was like, it came by and just, it fizzled out. Which it usually always does. You know, whatever's happening down in the Inland Empire and the LA area basin and all that surrounding area down there in the ocean. We have this barrier where I live, where the mountains are. And we get this massive weather system, usually every day. Usually it's every day. We get the Santa Ana winds, usually, and the Sierra winds and everything. And it rips across the desert, and it blows out all the smog and stuff. And we don't really have too much of a bad air quality. We actually have a pretty good air quality, except for, you know, certain times. Air messes with you and it gets really dusty. Then it's bad air quality because it messes up and blows up the dust and everything. Anyhow, so this storm comes through and it's like, you know, the kids, we go through, right? We go through, we get sandbags and everything because they're talking like some massive flooding, and which it was, don't get me wrong, there was flooding all over the desert where I live. And it's the areas that always flood. You know, this is not uncommon. This is areas that always flood in the desert. When it does rain and it does get kind of a lot of water, they always flood. So it's nothing really new at all. And this particular time, yes, on one of the main streets, we did get a lot more water than normal, you know. And There's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, it's just like everybody was all hyped up and grabbed some sandbags and stuff like that. And I feel bad for a lot of people out there, right? The ones that did have problems with the water and stuff. And I'll explain.
I'm sorry, I have just now beamed you out of the episode. Are you enjoying this show? Are you finding it intriguing what you're hearing? So you decide to help expand this show for others to hear as well? Take a moment and imagine yourself driving your car on the road.
You have an interstellar frequency bumper sticker. The person behind you sees you get out of your car, walks up to you, and says,
"Excuse me, what is this interstellar frequency that you have on your car?"
Now, you are in your own time and dimension and space.
As someone has just asked you this, imagine for a moment the conversation that you might have at this time. What would be the words you would say about this show? Imagine what it could be. How would you tell it? What would you say to them? Would you immediately tell them?
You absolutely gotta look this show up on Google and listen to this show.
If this happened to me, this is what I would say.
Dude, you got to go experience this show. This is the interstellar frequency experience. You will find that your mind will be playing a movie while listening to it.
Now that you have just experienced this mentally, I say to you, go to interstellarfrequency.info/store and find this bumper sticker, click on it. It will take you to my Etsy store where you can purchase it and have it shipped to you whatever time of dimension that you're in. They also do international shipping across this blue marble floating through space and time. Take a moment and pause this episode as I will do the same for you for 8 seconds, which will allow you time to pause and click on the store link in the description below.
Thank you. I am now going to be beaming you back to your previously audio recording.
Okay. So, I feel bad for the people that did the sandbag stuff. And, you know, there is a flooding and everything like that. And so people did get serious flooding, right? And yet, I went and got some sandbag myself and kind of, you know, prepared for this crazy water, you know, dump that we were going to get. Instead, it actually mostly filled up my pool than it did actually dump water where it was going to flood my back patio, which I thought it was going to flood my back patio and water was going to come inside the house. That's not what happened. The ground was sucking up the water as fast as it was coming down. So it was like, it just sucked right down into the earth, man. It was just, you know, loving on it. And the trees are loving on it, and rose bushes and everything I have in the backyard is just loving the water. It's like, oh my God, yay, water. And where I live, and most of the majority of us that here live here in this wonderful desert of ours, and you know, others would say different things about the wonderful Mojave Desert. They would probably disagree with me on it. On the other hand, I do love this landscape. I always have and I always will. I will always, always, for the rest of my days, always love the desert. I can never say it enough. I grew up in the desert. I played in the desert. I rode in the desert with my off-road toys. I love the desert. Now, the way this works where we are here, for some apparent reason, water flows north from this desert. It's the most bizarre thing. We have a river, actually, that's called the Mojave River. And the Mojave River literally is an underground river that flows all year round underground. And it flows north. It's really unique how that works. But it does. It always flows north. And for this desert to be underwater, it would be catastrophic. And I mean catastrophic is that means that, like, half of the desert that travels to get to Las Vegas and half the desert on the I-40 that goes out to Needles would be all underwater about, you know, 150 feet underwater before this desert where I live starts actually having beachfront property of water and overflowing. Our water will continue to run for quite some time. We would never flood here. Don't get me wrong. Let me retract that because a lot of people go, no, that's not true. Well, yes, it is true. We do have flooding, yeah? And that are the paths of the water going across the roadways. So it is flooding over directions of the canals where the water is. Here's the most stupidest point is, stupid. With the technology that we have and the amount of capability that we have, not one single road that we have in this location should actually be flooded. Because if we actually put in the box culverts and, you know, the hardcore construction of, you know, the water passages, we would never flood. Never. None of the roadways would ever flood if they had done the roadways the way they should be. Instead, they just slap asphalt down and say, here you go, and then they have the little dips and stuff where the water runs across the road. So when we have a 100-year flood like this, when the water runs, stuff happens because we never actually did build the infrastructure for the 100-year flood or anything like that. You know, thank God it's not a 1,000-year flood or a millennium flood or whatever, the Noah Ark flood. But, it does flood here. It's not that bad. But it, like, so many people, they always think about, okay, here, let me retract. The thing is, nobody really thinks about the idea that this planet is the host and we're just its guests, right? We're the guest on the host of the planet. The host is the planet, we're the guests, and yet water and everything else that is here kind of is a little bit more important than the human beings. Oh man, that I can see that causing a lot of problems by me saying that. Now let me just dive a little bit deeper here. So we're a guest on the planet, and water happens with the storm system, and it is an inconvenience for a lot of people, and they get upset about the inconvenience and they start to cuss out the weather system. Unannounced and unreality of realizing that when we had the fires that happened and the damages that happened from the fire, and we have this massive displacement of sediment and water being flown from, you know, flowing from one location to another, this is a good thing because then it's going to create more life for new plants in the area, which the vegetation will help, you know, secure the land a little bit more, no mudslides and stuff. Water brings life. We need water. It's important. And it does help us out. And I just hope a lot of others out there were not too terribly inconvenienced, too terribly bad from it. But at the same time, you know, it was all over the news, you know, prepare this and prepare that and get ready for this and get ready for that. You can never not be prepared enough. And if you are prepared and nothing happens, oh, well, at least you were prepared and you set up and ready to go. You had a strategic plan in place. And then it was just a fizzled out storm. Oh, man, I was so looking forward to it being a nice thunderstorm and, you know, the kids experiencing no power and no technology. And, you know, it was just like, man, that would have been the coolest thing to have them experience what it was like when I was a kid. Because back in the day, power went out. You know, we didn't have Southern California Edison up here in the high desert. We had Edison down the hill. So they had to literally drive from down the hill up to the high desert to turn the power back on. And that stuff took hours and hours and hours for them to get up here. So if the power went out, we were out of power for, you know, not just 30 minutes or 15 minutes. And we were out of power for hours, if not, you know, 10 hours later. You know, you go to bed at night and the whole entire house is shut off and nobody's got electricity. And God, what an experience that was, how quiet that was, and how beautiful that was when there was no electricity. You could see the stars at night. You could see the clouds when that happened, especially when the break in the clouds happened and stuff like that. You could see the starlight and everything with no power of the city. It's beautiful, very beautiful. Nowadays, technology is a little bit more advanced. The power goes out, and you're off for what, a minute, two, three minutes? Something like that. Then you're back on. Oh my God. What a long way we've came. Long way we've came. So, all in all, I'm just wishing in a way that these little kiddos got to experience something. Then again, every time I'm starting to realize that I'm hoping that they would get to experience some bit of what I got to experience when I was a kid, to see the coolness of this and that and the other thing. It would be neat. But at the same time, like, I'm realizing that they don't really need to experience it. I don't know. They probably don't. And, like I told them, I said, okay, we got to get the candles. Let's put the candles out. Put them by the stove. Let's put that over there. Let's put the fire extinguisher over there. Da-da-da-da. So, you know, kind of prepping everything up for absolutely nothing in a way, because nothing was really going to happen. Because of our mountainous terrain and how things work around here, the weather fizzles out up in the desert versus everywhere else. Anyhow, so they're all excited. They go and grab all the candles and everything. And they're like, I see them. They put the candles up, and then they grab later on, because you know the power didn't go out. They went and grabbed a couple of candles, the little electric ones with the batteries in it, and they put the candles up. I'm like, what are you doing? They're like,
we're putting the candles up.
Why?
So that way, when the power goes out, we have light.
I go, yeah, but the power hasn't gone out.
Well, how do we know the power's out?
I go, because there'll be no electricity in the house. And they're like,
really?
I go, yeah, no electricity.
Oh. Okay.
They don't really understand it. So I'm thinking now, I'm going to be kind of deviant in a way. And I'm going to go, you know, one time or the other, I'm going to surprise everybody. And that way nobody knows I'm going to do it. I'm going to go outside, flip the main breaker. And shut off the power of the whole entire house. So that way they don't know. And then they'll be like, you know, freaking out or something. And that way they think, all right, what do we do? You know, they'll be freaking, but they'll probably know that I'm the one that turned off the power. But then again, at the same time, if I turn the power off, I'm afraid that if I turn the power off, I won't get it back on. So why would I want to do that? You know, I mean, that's kind of bad to think that way, but at the same time, it's like, it ain't broke. Leave it alone. Don't mess with it. I don't want to be the cause of it not to come back on and then have to call Edison and go, hey, there's something wrong with my power. I can't have it on. And they have to send a technician out and go, oh, your breaker's broken. Sorry, you have to fix that. I don't know. I doubt that would happen, but you never know. I don't think I want to chance it. We'll see. Maybe try it one of these days. But other than that, man, it was a nice storm system. A lot of rain, very much humidity. Very beautiful. No problems. It was really nice. Dog loved it. Yeah. It was very, very cool. I enjoyed it. And so, I don't know. Moral of the story is don't get your hopes up too high when you think something and then it really doesn't happen. But then again, I guess it's not a bad thing because it could have been way worse. You know, they were talking about crazy wind. We still might get those crazy winds. I don't think so, though. But we'll see. You know, it's still early in the night. You never know what's going to happen until after it happens. Or something like that. So, there you go. I guess it's a little itty-bitty episode for this week. Until next time. End of transmission.
Stargazer.